Christ will make his home in your hearts as you learn to trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God.
Hi, if we haven't met, my name is Rachel, and opportunities like this are the highlight of my pastoral journey as I get to share with you on the second Sunday of Advent as we continue our series, Christmas at Home. The celebration of Christmas brings with it a calming peace, but also hurry and stress, intertwined with traditions and trees. Now, around this time of year, the debate always seems to come up about which one is better, a real tree or a fake tree. Now, as a kid, I felt very passionately that it was a real tree or no tree at all. And one of my family's favorite anecdotes to tell about me as a kid was when we went to a Christmas tree farm when I was about 10 years old. And as my family made their way into the tree farm, I kind of made my way off on my own. And kind of out of the quiet, my mom starts to hear me talking to someone, which is weird because no one's around. So she follows my voice and notices that I'm talking to the trees. She comes up to me and says, "What are you doing?" And matter-of-factly, I say, "I'm telling the funny-looking trees that they're important too. They might not get picked, and I want them to feel loved too." Now, fast forward a couple years, more than a couple years, and I no longer talk to trees, but I still really love decorating and celebrating Christmas by bringing that tree into my home and lighting it up with those warm Christmas lights. It may look different these days, but still, it's that really beautiful time of the year where our families and our friends gather around those trees at home. We may feel uprooted this year, but the truth of God's love remains, so we can change our current narrative this Advent season. Our Christmas at Home series started off last week with Ricky, sharing about trusting God as we prepare him room in our hearts. I'm picking up where Ricky left off in Ephesians 3, verse 17, as we move from planting that mustard seed of trust to our rootedness in God's love. What does our roots in Christ look like? Or what does having our roots in Christ look like? We will look at how we are, in fact, rooted in God's love, despite any external circumstance, and comprehending the vastness of that very love as we look to Jesus. Have you struggled to put into words how you're feeling these days? When someone asks, "How are you?" part of you doesn't know how to answer that. It's as if we're on this long, slightly disastrous road trip that just will not end. I can hear us all asking, "Are we there yet?" I hear you. It's not supposed to be like this, but yet, here we are. We are called on to hope and trust what we can see in front of us, or beyond what we can see in front of us. I've heard it said, to hope is to acknowledge reality in the very same breath that we acknowledge God's sovereignty. We prepare our hearts with an honesty that says, many days reality seems like it's too much to handle. But we can read Paul's prayer and believe it's for us today. Let's zero in on what Paul is praying for when he says, "I pray your roots will grow down into God's love." There's something lost in this New Living Translation. These words in the original Greek are in the perfect tense, translated, having been rooted and grounded in love. The perfect tense in Greek is used to describe a completed action whose produced results are still in effect all the way up to the present. In other words, the Ephesians are already rooted in God's love. And this has effects on their present day. They can live in this reality, strong in God's love, unshakable like a strong tree or a solid foundation. We are already rooted in Christ's love, but are we living in this reality? John Stott, an author and theologian, says this: to express how fundamental Paul longs for the Ephesians' love to be, he joins two metaphors, one botanical and one architectural, both of which emphasize depth as opposed to superficiality. In both cases, the unseen cause of their stability will be the same: love. Love is to be the soil in which their life is rooted, and love is to be the foundation on which their life is built. What we need to wrestle with today is asking ourselves, if someone were to look at our life, or more importantly, our hearts, would they see that our roots or our cause of stability, of peace, is love? Moreover, is it God's love? There are endless types of counterfeit loves that we so often build our lives on, or hope they will keep us grounded. Nevertheless, they are great things or beautiful things, but not things to build our lives on or to be rooted like our identity. Things like our career, our family, our finances, our health. But then the inevitable happens when we rely on those things. Our once reliable source of security or confidence is uprooted or rattled. And we are left asking, what gives? Things were going so well. The disappointment rises. The stress increases. The loss of sleep encroaches. We are robbed of our peace of mind. We question if we ever had peace of mind in the first place. And this is where God meets us this Christmas at home. Our attention turns back to Him. On the second Sunday of Advent, we celebrate the peace promised to us in Christ. Jesus is born to show us perfect love, to make all things new, to be God with us. We can know Christ's love in the chaos, especially in the chaos. We are already rooted in Christ's love if you've made that confession of faith. Paul's prayer is not for the Ephesians to clean up their mess or be good Christians to experience God's love. No, he prays they would live in the reality, the already, of knowing stability and strength through love. Nothing else. He continues in verse 18 when he prays the Ephesians would have the power to understand God's love. Remember, Paul does not pray for protection from or removal of their current circumstance, even if it's challenging. If Paul could pray for us, I suggest the language would be similar. Rootedness in and the experience of God's love versus protect them, change their circumstance, take away the pain. Instead, may we have the power to comprehend God's love in its full dimensions, in the chaos, especially in the chaos. There is nothing in this world that can separate us from His love, Romans 8, verse 39. So how big is this love? Pretty big, apparently. Some commentators, such as Timothy Keller, have suggested we consider the dimensions in verse 18 by picturing the shape of the cross. You know the shape. The breadth. So that's the arms wide. So the breadth of God's love, Jesus' arms stretched wide on the cross. Aggressively sacrificial and hopeful love. Apply this type of love to racism in our world. How do you get rid of racism in yourself? You have an experience through the riches of God's glory. He takes the truth, coats your inner being, so that when the truth strikes there, he creates that kind of hopeful love, aggressively hopeful love. You are changed from the inside out, and you finally learn to treat and see others like Jesus does. Perfectly and wonderfully made in his image, deserving of all dignity and respect. One who Jesus stretched his arms wide for and gave his life. That is the breadth of God's love. The length. You think you're too far gone? Or your son or daughter has done the worst, irreversibly lost? Think again. God is chasing them. He also sees you in that dark place where you think you've hidden away. He will never, ever forsake you. You can never outrun God. He refuses to let go of you. That is the length of his love. The depth. You think God does not care? Or he is far removed, way up in some lofty heaven in the clouds? Remember how far Jesus descended to us. Though he was equal with God, he emptied himself and came to earth to be with us. Once he got here, he was willing to go to the cross. That's the depth of his love. The height. Does it seem like there should be more to life, more than the trivial day-to-day? That's because there is much, much more to life and what is to come after we enter eternity. The height of God's love is where he wants to take us, a glory beyond our imagination. Now, if you're like me, ever so practical and asking, okay, what now? I mentioned earlier, it feels like this year is a long and uncomfortable road trip. If you've ever traveled with anyone for more than 8 hours, you'll know what I mean. My family nicknamed itself the Road Warriors because we went on so many road trips and they were often multiple days. I liken this hardiness to the fact that my dad loves cars and my mom loves the beach. I grew up in Kingston, Ontario, which is conveniently close to the US border and within reach of some spectacular beaches, if you're willing to drive there, you know, to save money. Many spring breaks were spent on the road, escaping the frigid tundra of Ontario and into the warm embrace of South Carolina. The cost of this trip was almost always more mentally taxing than financially. There was the stress of snowstorms to battle through in New York State, as always, not to mention the ever dramatic and argumentative sisters in the backseat, myself included. What kept our family from completely turning on each other on that drive south was knowing our destination. We knew the cramped legs, the bad road food, the arguments over music would all be worth it when we put our toes in that sandy beach and felt that warm sea breeze. So you asked, what now? Well, we can put up with anything and keep our peace when we know our destination. Moreover, when we know someone has gone before us and is with us to help get us there. I mentioned my dad is a car guy. He used to have a 1985 Mustang 5.0 notchback sedan. In his words, it was great fun when it was working, which wasn't often, but it was zippy and worth it for him. Now, at the time of our road trips down south, we would have all argued or resisted if he tried to get us to drive down south in his fixer-upper. However, admittedly, I would go in the Mustang, but only if he was in the driver's seat. With my dad at the wheel, I always sat back in peace. He overcame every black patch of ice, scary close calls on the highway, you name it, he could handle it. I trusted him because I had witnessed his skill and his love for us time and time again. He protects our family at all costs. He would put himself at risk before he would ever put his family at risk. We can trust Jesus to get us through anything, not just because of our relationship with him, but because of the life he lived. I know and I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in the message in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're on. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline through your souls. Lisa Turkhurst writes in her book, "It's not supposed to be this way." I love that Eugene gives us the secret of being a person who keeps going. Jesus lived it so we could know it. This is how we get through life between two gardens. This is how we make sense of things that don't make sense. This is how we can believe God is good when life isn't good. This is how we can face hurt upon hurt, disappointment upon disappointment, and still run our race with oxygen filling our lungs, peace filling our minds, and joy filling our hearts. This is how we can accept reality but live reassured. This is how we can be rooted in Christ and have the power to comprehend the breadth, length, depth, and height of his love for each of us. Let us prepare him room as this sinks into your soul, and let his peace be upon you.